The joke today is that I'm managing the PowerPoint. And we'll see if I do that or not, okay? You know, no, it is an exciting day and we can feel it all. But when Heidi came in, I said, good morning. I said, how are you doing? She says, I am feeling spectacular. Life is spectacular. Did it show up here? Yes. Amen. So thank you, Heidi, for that, okay? Getting us moving in the right direction. So today, what I want to do is follow up with last week's message, was kind of, the scientific approach, if you would, depending on what you believe, to consciousness and awareness. And that quantum physics has really been powerful in leading us to an understanding, I think a clearer understanding, of who we are, what we are, and what we're made up of. And some physicists and biologists would say that they are atheists, that there is no such thing as God out there, and I don't disagree with them with that. And at the same time, they believe in consciousness, but they believe that consciousness comes through the brain. Through the brain. I want you to think about that for a minute. Because what we teach in Unity is consciousness comes from divine mind. Creates divine ideas, and also that it manifests through divine, that there's divine expression in each of us. And that is what controls our brain, by the way, as far as that's my belief system. That's what really controls our brain. And so what happens is that you and I have the ability to choose. I choose, therefore I am. Yeah. And we have this ability to choose. And it's a God-given ability for everybody. And it's a very important ability because what we choose determines on how we show up. What decisions we make determines how our life shows up. How we work with our families, how we work with one another. And we have the ability to choose that. And we have the power to take that choice and put it into beingness. And as we start to look at that, what we start to understand is this idea of consciousness. Now, there are four fields of consciousness by some writers. One is the field of consciousness itself, universal consciousness. Collective consciousness. The second is the idea that I can be aware of my consciousness and that there are objects of consciousness that I know are there. Now, you know, one of the things interesting about objects of consciousness, you're sitting in a chair right now. It feels very solid, right? And yet, what we know through quantum physics, it's not solid. Don't fall, because it acts like it's solid because you choose to believe it's solid, and we choose to believe it's solid. But the truth is that if you looked at the city of New York and looked at how much matter, pure matter, there is in the city of New York, if it were to disappear, all of the emptiness went away, what they say, and it was mashed down to the matter that it is, you would barely be able to see it under a microscope. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? And it's amazing that you and I have the ability to do that, to have a consciousness that creates something that works for us, that we choose that, and we step into that. But it's much bigger than that, because when we choose to be conscious, we have that ability to understand that there is a third part of consciousness, and that's the experience of consciousness, or that we are a witness to our own consciousness. And then, number four on consciousness is that in idealistic philosophy, we speak of consciousness as the ground of all being. That's what Unity believes. That's what Charles Fillmore talked about, Myrtle Fillmore talked about, Eric Butterworth talked about, Emily Cady talked about, that we are beingness. And it doesn't sound like much, but it's huge at the same time. And so there's this definition of consciousness that I used last week. And that definition of consciousness says, if I find the right button here we go. Whoops, where'd that one come from?
It's pretty.
You take over. Thank you. If you can bring it up, can you get to it? I've messed it up here. Like I said, this is an experiment. Oh, here we go. Back a little bit. That consciousness. This should go next. Thank you. Consciousness is the individual awareness of your unique thoughts. Memories, feelings, and sensations. And environments. Essentially, your consciousness is your awareness of yourself and the world around you. However, there is a difference between consciousness and awareness. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. And as we start to look at that difference, we start to understand that each of us relate to things in a different way. For example, next slide, there are these roses. Now, there's a story about a woman who's had been married to a fellow for 60 years. And every year that they had been married, roses were delivered. Now, when you start to think about from a conscious standpoint, the person who delivered them had a sense of what roses were, probably saw them a little differently, and had more different meaning to that person. The person who received them, his wife, had a consciousness about those roses. And when she'd see a yellow rose, even during the year, it would remind her of her husband and the roses. And then there is the actual rose itself, which has feelings, thorns. It doesn't have, well, it probably has feelings, but anyway, we have feelings about it. We can feel the thorns, we can smell it, we can relate to it, and it gives us a different sense of consciousness. And so as we start to look at that, what we start to understand, I believe, is that, can I try that again? Aha! Is that all of this is coming from the cells in our body. Now, I'm not going to explain this. I can't even pronounce most of the words. So, what I want you to do is just see how intricate we've learned cells are. And an interesting thing about cells is that cells have intelligence. Most of us agree with that today. If you'd have said that in 1950, people thought you were crazy. If you said it when Myrtle Fillmore said it in 1885, 86, they would have really said you were crazy. But she believed in the intelligence of cells and that you and I had the ability to direct cells. Now, as they've studied more about cells, initially when they said they were intelligent, they said that cells are intelligent, but they need to be directed. They need to be directed. Now today, what they know is that cells have intelligence to decide whether or not it wants to connect with another cell, wants to reproduce itself. It makes those decisions. And cells do not have brains. Cells do not have brains. And as we start to understand that, what happens is we start to understand, I think, my interpretation of what Jesus understood. See, I think Jesus understood this, that cells had intelligence, that you can manage the cells in your body, that you can cure, be healed through the power of the cells in your body. And as he understood that, he was able to demonstrate that through what we call miracles, that Jesus would have said aren't miracles at all. It's just the way life is. It's a way we can manage our lives. And I've seen, and I know many of you have, people who have done exactly that. Cells who were not supposed to be alive in them came back alive. They became healthy. People who said, you're going to die, the doctor said, you're going to die within 3 months, are still here today after 5, 10, 15 years. Because doctors don't know that you're going to heal or not heal. Because they may not understand your belief system and understand how you can manage the cells in your body to live fully and to heal. Cells are healing instruments. They're built that way. And sometimes it doesn't work, and I know that. But many times it does. It works every day. Do you know that we have somewhere in the neighborhood of 183 million cells in our bodies? When I started talking about this 25 years ago, we only had 60 million. I guess that weight that I picked up had something to do with that. So as we start to look at this and move from self-aware, it says the phrase, "I think, therefore I am," means that thinking is the one thing that cannot be faked. It is the one thing that individuals know they exist. It's the one thing that individuals know they exist. It was the first. It was first used by philosopher Rene Descartes. Thank you. That's close. Descartes, I think it is. Anyway, and what he was saying is that you and I have ability to be self-aware. The difference between consciousness and the ability to be self-aware can be explained in this next chart here. I learned this a long, long time ago. I would not say that I'm always able to put it into effect, but today I do a better job because I set intentions based on these facts. You know, my daughter, who just turned 56, my goodness gracious, loved field hockey, but she never loved golf until later in life. The first time I took her out to play golf, she had, and this is hard to do in golf, she had a natural swing. She was 14 years old when I finally convinced her to come play golf with me. And she hit the ball about 190 yards off the tee. First shot. I mean, she had a few driving range. She had no lessons. She just hit it. And it had a slight draw to it. I'm still trying to learn how to do that. But she had the ability to do that. That was because it was just natural to her. She has natural athletic ability. And what happens here, as an example, is that she was an unconscious competent. She didn't even know that was good. So she was not aware of her innate ability to swing a golf club in the right way. Also, what we have up here is the conscious competent. And the conscious competent, that's up there twice, I don't know why. The conscious competent is a person who, like professional golfers, excuse me using that, but I kind of like that game, are people who hit a golf ball 1,000 times a day. Not the same one, but golf balls, 1,000 times a day. They do it for years as youth in order to become as good as they are. And so they are, when they hit golf ball, they know what they're doing. They have a pretty good idea of where it's going. And usually goes that way because they've practiced so much. And they understand, they are self-aware of their ability as a golfer to be a pro. And as we start to look at that and understand that, what we see is that we have also that's the conscious competent. We also have an unconscious incompetent. That's down at the bottom. That's the most dangerous. I think I know what I'm doing. I've convinced myself I know what I'm doing. I can convince you I know what I'm doing, and you even believe me. And I don't know what I'm doing. You ask the board, they'll tell you that, okay? So anyway, so there's these three. The fourth one I've not put together properly, and I apologize. As we start to look at those four competence, okay, it's the unconscious incompetent, the conscious competent, the unconscious competent, and the consciousness of a competent. Anyway, as we start to look at that, hopefully I haven't confused you too much, what happens is we start to understand there's a difference between consciousness and awareness. Now I want to bring this home to what Unity talks about from that, and what Unity teaches from that standpoint. And what we are saying when we look at that is that we are able to live in self-consciousness because of the law of mind action. We can only be effective with the law of mind action unless we are aware of where we are. It's not effective when we don't know where we are, because you and I, through the power of faith, understanding, imagination, and a strong belief that we have the ability to bring things into existence and manifest, are able to use the law of mind action. But that takes a sense of self-awareness. And then if you start to look at the law of mind action again, what you see is wherever the whatever the mind can conceive and believe, the mind can achieve, regardless of how many times you may have failed in the past. Napoleon Hill. When I read that, I was about 22 years old. Somebody gave me the book. And that book changed my life. Because I started to understand that I had some abilities that I didn't think I had. I started to become more aware of my abilities. And somewhere in my readings, I don't know if it was Napoleon Hill or who, but anyway, what it said is, you know, you have the ability to create your world. And when you have the ability to create your world, then be careful. Be aware. And use that awareness to do good things for people. And when I came into Unity, I kind of saw that, not quite written that way, but I read it in Fillmore's works, I read it in Emily Cady's works, I read it in Eric Butterworth, and on, many, many authors, and many people who are people who write New Thought material, New Thought ideas. And it was continuous, and it was positive. And so, as I started to understand that, I started to look at the law of manifestation. The law of mind action is the ability to take ideas and put them into a sense and put them into your imagination and create a picture. When you create that picture, you then start to set an intention to bring that picture into existence. And when you do that, if you focus on it, if you understand it, if you keep your faith, if you have an understanding faith, then what will happen is that particular goal, that intention you have set, will come into being. It will happen. And sometimes, because we don't quite have, not the faith, I don't want to say that, we have all the faith we need, because we don't exercise our faith in a certain way, then what happens is that we fail. But remember, even if you fail before, if you continue to focus and do the work necessary, then you will bring into being that which will carry you literally through life, through relationships, and help you understand that you are built in the image and likeness of God. That which created us. It's not a person. It's not out there somewhere. It's within us and responds because it is within us. And so as we start to understand that and look at that, what we understand is that you and I have that power to manifest. And then, as we move along here, I think, living in self-awareness. That was the end. Thank you. Anyway, it's not really the end. The big debate between science sometimes and faith or religion or spirituality is that the consciousness, again, I said earlier, comes from the brain. The consciousness does not come from the brain. It also, they do not believe that consciousness has power over matter. I don't know why, but they don't. That's what they write about. And what you and I understand is that consciousness comes from the heart space. Consciousness comes from an awareness of who we are and where we are. Consciousness comes from looking at our screen of life and saying, I don't want to be that way, and setting a new attention. Consciousness is always there. Self-awareness is not always there. So our responsibility, I believe, and I say our, not pointing a finger, is to understand that we are to be self-aware, that we are to live in self-aware, because this is a self-aware universe. Thank you. Now, So just gently rub your hands together, creating some energy, bringing out the energy in you. And then stop for a moment and breathe gently. I am aware. I am conscious. I am beingness. And in a place of beingness, we let our heart open wide. We feel that space, that heart space, and know that all of a sudden, in a moment, we are in that place on high where we are connected in oneness to everything in us, around us, and that transcends us. And we just sit in the silent, in awe of how wonderfully we have been created and our abilities to change our lives. Now just take a moment to think of something that you would like to change in your life. Hold that in consciousness throughout this day, throughout this week, because change within is important and necessary to grow in spirit. And so it is, in the name and the power of the Christ that resides within each of us, we say thank you, thank you, thank you for our grateful universe. Amen.
Flow, Spirit, flow through me as I open up to be an expression of your unfolding peace. Show, Spirit, show through me as I open up to be an expression of your unfolding.